And take your Bibles this morning as we turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We are continuing with the message Pentecost. Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 13. Pentecost meaning 50th. 50 days after Passover, the Holy Spirit came to town and filled the believers. What an awesome thing. And here we are today as recipients of that same filling. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. We'll have some introduction. We'll get into points 2 and 3 as part of this message today. So Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. Let us pray and ask God's help and direction this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for bringing us together into the house of the Lord. We know that this was determined beforehand by You that we should be together today. We ask that You might take this message from the Word of God and use it in all of our hearts and lives. Build us with it. Convict us. Show us where we're low, need to be high. Help us to understand what You have for each of us. And we ask that we might be 100% in for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, gave Himself for us. It's incredible what You have accomplished on our behalf. The cross alone was unbelievable, and the torture before that, and then the powerful resurrection. We are so thankful for our risen Savior this morning. I ask You now, Holy Spirit, that You might fill me for the message. I trust and depend in You. I am Your instrument here today. I do not trust in myself at all. And only in You, and I ask that You might guide us and direct us into Your Word today, for we ask all of this in the powerful, wonderful name of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to have one passion in our life, and that is a passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen and coming again. A zeal for the kingdom only comes when we have a zeal for the King. And that is King Jesus. Now, in the world in which we live, there's a lot of zeal around. There's a lot of passion for a lot of other people besides our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you a little rundown of people that a lot of folks are wound up about, and even worship at their shrine, and we should never be doing that. So I'm going to give you four men, four ladies, and I'm going to have you fill in the blanks for four more. So there's a lot of people today have a lot of zeal and a lot of passion for Donald Trump. A lot of people had a lot of zeal and passion for Brother Rush Limbaugh, who is now in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we have people like Tom Brady and Tucker Carlson, big names that people love and revere and even bow down and worship in their hearts. We want to bring those women in here too, and then somebody afterwards gave me some more names. But I wrote down these names. We have people like Dana Perino and Judge Jeanine, Sandra Smith, Martha McCallum, and other people. And now for 9, 10, 11, 12, I want you to fill in people that may be you or others, preachers, big-time names that people worship in these days. You fill in those blanks. Maybe you don't worship them, but there are people who are. There's a lot of big-name preachers out there, famous preachers. And I want us to think for a moment about this. So we have 12 names, four men, four ladies, four preachers. What do all 12 of these people have in common? They're all filthy, rotten, wicked sinners. Except for Rush. He's no longer a sinner. He has made it. He has made it to the other side. And rejoicing with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I understand he came to know Christ in 2019. And saw a lot of writings about his conversion. So we're so glad about that. But we're all sinners. I'm a filthy, rotten, wicked sinner. So are you here this morning. We all have that in common. All of these people are good at what they do. They're good at what they say. They've done a lot of wonderful things out there in society and in churches and around the world. But the sin problem I'm getting at this morning is a lot of folks worship all of these people. They're being worshipped. They're held up high, and they should not be. It is Jesus only. And even worse is when some of these big-name preachers and evangelists get exposed for their sins, and a lot of folks say, so what? I'm still going to worship them. That's really wrong. And we've had a rash of exposure within the last several years of big-name preachers, and you wonder, how in the world did they fall into those sins? But they did. Well, maybe they missed what we're looking at here this morning. And that is, our zeal and our focus has to be Jesus Christ and Him alone. It cannot be on anybody in this world. And so this morning, I am not here to talk about the dirt in the lives of any of these people. Not at all. I'm here to say that you need to worship Christ alone. And no one else. People sin, and people let you down. I still sin, and I still let you down. Now, here's a good example of what I'm talking about. About 30 years ago, we held a conference in Lebanon there at the Church of the Open Door, about a four-day conference, a lot of preaching and all that going on during a conference like that, morning, noon, afternoon, nighttime preaching. And the sanctuary was like about half full for all of this preaching. But then we were having one of these big names come in one evening. And when that evening arrived, every seat in the church was filled. There was standing room only in our big foyer back there. All of these people came to hear a man. And guess what happened that night? Engine trouble for the preacher. He didn't make it. He didn't make it. And so you could feel it in the room, the sadness and the disappointment. Oh, I drove all these miles to hear this man and he's not going to be here. And then they got up, the leader of the conference got up and announced, well, instead of that person, we're going to have a missionary from Africa, and he's going to preach tonight, a national. Never saw the man before. I don't remember his name. I can still see his face, and I can remember his message. It was one of the most phenomenal preaching messages I've ever heard. He wasn't even supposed to preach. And so it all goes to show you, we have to be all in for Jesus Christ. This isn't about a preacher. This isn't about people. It's only, we've got passion for Jesus Christ and Him alone. And no one else. So we come back now to the ascension. There stands the disciples and they watch their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, go back up to heaven. And they had a passion for the King. They had a zeal for the King and for His kingdom. And they were enamored with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as believers this morning, we need to be enamored with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Him alone. Saying it a different way, little love for the King produces little zeal for the King's mission. I think that's very telling. Little love for the King produces little zeal for the King's mission. May the Holy Spirit deepen our love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we seek to understand and apply the message of the great book of Acts. Let us pray for Spirit-empowered boldness to reach out to the lost souls in our area, where we work, where we shop, where we go. And may they see the fact that we are enthralled with our Savior. And He is the one who counts in our life. In our first point in our message last time, we looked at what happened to the apostles at Pentecost. Today we start in point number two with what happened in the apostles at Pentecost. Look at verse number four this morning. Verse number four. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now put your marker there or hold your finger there and go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 18 to 21, Ephesians chapter 5, where we get some embellishment on what was happening here at Pentecost there in the upper room. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse number 18 and going through 21. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What do we see here? There was communication. There was communication going on. They were united in the core of their beings there in that upper room. There was a joy of communication that they had not previously known. You think about the disciples and their 3-year walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were a mess. They were selfish. They were looking out for, number one, they were not understanding everything, and rightly so. Their spiritual exchange now is expressed by the reading and the teaching of the Scriptures and by worshiping their Savior and worshiping Him with music. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a wonderfully fulfilling communication that happens believer to believer. For example, back when my wife and I, and she didn't always go on to senior week, but she did sometimes, we took our senior students down to the wilds just right before graduation for a week there of fun and activity. We take them there not for the fun activity, we take them there to get preached at. And so that's what happens there. Well, it's interesting. Every year, the same process of the week happens. You arrive there, you're there with about 10, 20 other Christian schools, and they've got their seniors there. It's not as big as during the summertime. And everybody is interested in having a really good time, and they're seniors, they're going to graduate in 2 weeks, and they're all riled up and having a good time. And so Mondays and Tuesdays were your rough 2 days. It was rough because they're really wound up. And not only that, a bunch of these seniors have come there unsaved. Most of them have come with their hearts not right with God. So on Monday and Tuesday, what's happening is the Holy Spirit is doing a work in the hearts of these kids. And the 1 year, we had 22 seniors saved that 1 week. Out of 200 kids, that's pretty significant for them to make it through their school years at that Christian school and never have come to know Christ as their Savior. And then almost all of them would get their hearts right. And then by Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit is in charge of the camp. And He's in charge of their little hearts. And they start to just grip and grasp and glean and grow. There's been a moving of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and their lives. It's just really, really awesome. So when the people of God get filled with the Holy Spirit and appropriate the fullness of God, everyone revels in the joy of the Lord. And so during that senior week, by Friday night, nobody wants to go home. They just want this thing to go on and on and on. But no, you got to go back home and you got to make this continue to happen in your life. So when there is the fullness of the Holy Spirit, there is incredible communication. There was also not just communication, there was joy. They were singing and making melody in their hearts and out loud to the Lord. There's a fellow who was known from the Welsh revival. His name was Billy Bray, coal miner. Every morning on his way down the shaft to mine more coal, he prayed a prayer. Same prayer every day as they're descending down. He would say, "Lord, if any of us must be killed today, let it be me. Let not one of these men die, for they are not happy, but I am." He had the joy of the Lord. Everybody knew it. And he was concerned about those souls that went down that mine with him. A man of joy. Also, there was thanksgiving. You know, these actions, it's all supernatural. These are supernatural things. Before the Holy Spirit came upon and into the apostles, they were not like that at all. This was not happening during the 3-year walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It also says in Ephesians that they were in subjection one to another. And you know that before the resurrection and before Pentecost, it wasn't really that way at all. They were pretty lively characters, these disciples. There had been all kinds of infighting before, but there has been a huge, huge transformation. And that transformation happened when the Holy Spirit came and entered into their souls and their hearts. What a transformation took place. Pentecost was going on way down deep inside of these apostles, and then it flowed out all over the place to other people. There was only one Pentecost, but the benefits of the filling remain today, and they are and can be wonderful. A communicative spirit, a joyful spirit, a thankful spirit, and a yielding, serving spirit can be ours 24/7. Point number three, what happened through the apostles at Pentecost? What happened through the apostles at Pentecost, verses 5 through 13. And this is truly miraculous and amazing. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. What a great place to start to have Pentecost, and all these people are together from all over the world. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, our own language, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." What happened through the apostles at Pentecost? The rushing mighty wind of the Holy Spirit brought together a huge crowd. And the apostles stepped forth from the upper room and began to proclaim the gospel in everyone's language. Talk about shock. That would be incredible, to go somewhere with people from all over and everybody is getting the gospel in their language. Man. And they're looking at, these are ignorant Galileans. They're speaking our language. Others made fun of them, saying, they're a bunch of drunks. Well, they went on their merry way. Others were genuinely interested, and they hung around. And they heard the gospel. We know what happens next. We know that as the chapter goes on, some 3,000 of them believe in the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. They were saved. What grace happened on that day? What does this mean? What does this mean? It means that the Holy Spirit brings new life to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that life comes a continuing power to those who are continually asking the Holy Spirit to fill them. That is available this day. It is available today. It means fire in our lives, individually burning away the chaff and the dross and flaming out to those around us. It means the truth of God going forth from us in a way that we would never have dreamed possible. The divine utterance of God through us. It means communication, joy, thankfulness, and submission. What does this require of you and me this morning? What does this require of us? The same thing it required from those at Pentecost. Emptiness. An acknowledgement that we need Jesus. We must be empty. We must acknowledge we are nothing without Him. And once we are saved, God's persistent work in our lives liberates us from the idea that we can live the Christian life on our own by ourselves. Have you ever tried to live the Christian life apart from the power of the Holy Spirit? I bet you have. I have. I understand that. How well does that work? Not very. Not at all. We need His power. We need His filling in our lives. He fills us with more of His Spirit so we can carry on His work. He will not fill our sails with the wind of the Holy Spirit unless we admit that our sails are empty. We need the wind of the Holy Spirit in our sails. What's your job? Raise the sails. Pull the ropes. Get the sails up there. Get your sins confessed. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily, many times a day. Ask Him to fill you once again. The key to the Spirit-filled Christian life is found in a paradox. Cultivating an attitude of perpetual emptiness brings with it a perpetual fullness. That's what we need. We need His fullness. Our emptiness, His fullness. Jesus said it like this. Blessed, meaning spiritually prosperous, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We have to want it. We have to ask for it. We have to desire it, understanding we are empty. Put the sails up and ask the Holy Spirit to fill them. It's been interesting today. The first thing I do when I turn on my phone is I look at the verse of the day on my Bible app that I have. Maybe you have that same app. And today's verse was this verse with which I closed out the service. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. Then I went to the messages where Pastor Matt Jury, who used to preach down in York Springs, and he and his wife have moved to Virginia. We pray for his wife. She's on our prayer sheet. She has metastatic breast cancer. And he still sends out the prayer for pastors, even though he's been gone from down there, I don't know, maybe a couple years now. Same fellow that brought all those books in here and let you pick anything you want and just take it. Here's the prayer he sent out this morning that really fits. It really fits here with what we're talking about today. Prayer for pastors. Who can speak of the mighty works of God? Our most eloquent sermons are little more than the braying of a donkey in the wild. Yet God chose the foolishness of preaching and preachers to communicate the gospel of the inexhaustible and eternal goodness and mercy of God. Praying for you as you preach today. So that's what I am this morning, folks. I am just a donkey in the wind, bringing the word. It's not me, it's Him. This isn't about me. And you know, I think one of the biggest problems with some of the fellows that people worship today is they got so big and so powerful and have so much money that they started to lose sight of who God is and who they need to worship. And Jesus is first, it's not me. And when you lose that, man, you can get off track so fast. So one of my prayers daily is, Lord, don't let me do that. Don't let me forget. This is about You. And I am just a screwdriver in the hand of God. I'm just a tool in His toolbox to be used. It's not my ministry, it is His ministry. It is not about me, it is about Him. And as we keep that in the forefronts of our mind, and get those sins confessed many times a day and ask for the refilling of the Holy Spirit, we will be safe. And He will continue to guide us. It has to always be about Jesus and not us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the great power of the book of Acts. The power of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost. and filled those wonderful believers. And we thank You that yet today it is the same. You are so anxious to fill our sails with Your wind. We ask this morning as a congregation that You might help us to keep raising the sails. And would You keep the wind coming into our sails? Keep using us, Lord, in these days. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One day we get to see You. But in the meantime, help us keep in the forefront. May it be all about our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.